Tiger. Good morning. So today, what are we talking about? Hello? Hello? Can you hear me? Ceci here. Is anyone there? Hi, my name is Ceci. I'm based in Berlin, and I want to welcome you to Sisi, the podcast where you see what others see. In this, our first season, we're talking about colors. Hi, Petra. Good morning.
Hi, Ceci. I'm ready to introduce our wonderful guest today. Everything started with a joint trip to Hong Kong. A woman dressed in an extravagant coat and the question, wouldn't that look gorgeous in Jersey? After nearly 20 years of experience gathered in established fashion houses such as Chloé and Escada, as well as 11 years of joint work for Tony Gard and later as creative director for René Lézar, one of women's top fashion brands in Germany was born in 2008. A Jersey collection and a couple of years after, O'Day was already rocking Berlin's fashion scene at the Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week. And later, in 2014, its designs were shaking up the catwalks at the Paris Fashion Weeks too. Otto Drexler was born in Austria. He studied fashion design at the University of Applied Arts Vienna under masters Karl Lagerfeld and Jill Sander. During these years, he earned the prize Rencontre du Jeune Talent in St. Gallen and the Mode Team Wien Award, which granted him a scholarship sponsored by Dietmar Serling in Paris. For his part, after gaining experience as a highly trained man's tailor, Jörg Ehrlich, who was born in Germany in the idyllic town of Limburg an der Lahn in Bavaria, completed a degree in design at the Niederrhein University of Applied Sciences. As a natural consequence, Otto has taken over the artistic part of the brand, whereas Jörg masterminds the collection's conception, oversees the artisanal manufacturing work, and takes care of the brand's marketing. Known for its daring use of exciting colors and fearless patterns, the creativity of this power duo is not constrained to fashion. From 2017 to 2020, Otto and Jörg also worked as creative directors of Meissen, the first porcelain manufacturer founded more than 300 years ago in 1710, and perhaps the most famous worldwide. This power duo enjoys collaborating with other brands in the conception and creation of sunglasses, furniture, and other interior design objects. These joint projects extend further to the art scene with art galleries such as the Gisela Clement Gallery in Bonn and Martina Taube Fine Art Gallery in München, through co-curation of temporary shows and the display at their own two concept stores transformed into art spaces located in Munich and Berlin, and the latter a must-see during Berlin's Gallery Weekend. O'Day stands for a now rare atelier tradition, working out of respect for the craftsmanship and as an appeal for conscious consumption. Together with the best Italian weavers and silk printers, as well as highly skilled German artisans, the founders of O'Day, Otto Drexler and Jörg Ehrlich, strive for perfection, but leave the women who wear them to freely interpret their clothes.
Welcome, Jörg Ehrlich.
Thank you for having me here.
Jörg, I want to say something about O'Day. I love the way you designed and created to be freely combined each of your pieces that the wearer can possibly match and create a unique look, as elegant, fun, or diverse as they want it to be. O'Day's style stands up clearly against homogeneity, and for all, against this tacky logo bragging commonly used as a marketing resource by so many other brands in the market. Where does this natural sense of freedom come from, and how have you been able to translate this into O'Day's DNA?
First of all, thank you very much for your resume. It reflects very much what we try to achieve when we do and when we design the collections. But coming back to your question, I think it's, how are we doing it? It's first of all, I think it's also a matter of experience that we have. We, as you said at the beginning in the intro, we experienced over 20 years in the business in big structures. We worked for big companies like Escada, like Grena Lange, like Chloe. Otto worked for Chloe for 2 years under the helm when it was under the helm of Karl Lagerfeld. And what helps a lot is the experience, the networking, the network we have, the people around us, and the fact that we know how we could also do it in a more conceptual way. And this knowledge, knowing how to do it in a more traditional or conventional way, allows us the fact that we can open ourselves and do it in a more, as you said, freehand direction. And personally, we both of us think that in these times today, we all were looking and trying to achieve this woman who knows what she wants, who stands for individuality, who decides by herself what to wear and what not to wear and all that. This kind of attitude we all want, either it's by men or in our case with women, and we think to tell people this is the key look and this is look number 27 and you should wear it exactly as it's shown there, doesn't reflect the times we are in. So I guess that answers a bit your question. And we try to develop items, not looks. And in the moment when we do a fashion show, we compose looks out of these items. But every piece is designed by itself and has the potential to stand for itself.
Your design language is often described as opulent minimalism. And that sounds a kind of like a contradictio in terminus to me. And is there always some tension in the design process and in the designs themselves to reach the best result? And to what extent would you say this tension is tangible and attractive for your customers?
I think the tension is the result of the fact that we are two individuals designing the collection, of course. Each of us has a certain view, and we have a certain common view on the brand that we started 13 years ago. But in the end of the day, every one of us has his own individual idea of what Ode should be, and we have different, let's say, priorities. While Otto is more the elegant part in the collection, I'm more the sportive, more casual counterpart. And in combination of this, there is a certain kind of tension as you described it. And we think that is something that makes it unique and that maybe makes it uncomparable to and so special that we would say today it's a good result to have this tension and this energy.
Well, seeing the different collections, catwalks, I went through them. I saw in each of your garments a tremendous amount of respect and understanding for women. There is no intention whatsoever to objectify the wearer, and this is not common. I think this is a statement of a brand with principles. How do you envision the woman you design for? The woman that Ode dresses in colors.
We are not having this typical kind of muses, let's say, where we would say, oh, she should walk on the red carpet with this dress or with this suit or whatever. That's not our idea, and it's not our idea to put a woman on a certain higher level, let's say. When we design, and especially when Otto is starting with the drawings and when we are in the fittings and when we are really developing the pieces, we think of a certain circle of women that is surrounding us. It may be it's friends, it's people we know, it's people we like, it's women we would probably love to dress but are not able to reach them yet. It's a mix of all that, and we are trying to test for ourselves, would she wear it? Would she buy it? Would she like it? Would she love it? And if those answers are mainly a yes, then it for us has the potential. So it's not this dreaming into something, it's rather than fulfilling this idea of how would that work.
Yeah, and so besides having an incredible quality and a brilliant contrast between patterns and colors, there's a very distinctive feature present in your collections, which is your use of color. It would could be a 1970 retro cut orange trouser, an elegant yellow winter coat, or an oversized blue striped cotton shirt. Playfulness is always and unmistakably present. Now, this is not a random flashy display of color, but rather the achievement of an exciting, complex, yet elegant balance. And I do not think this is a coincidence, but rather a sign of tons of work behind it. So how can Odea's use of color be such an eye-catcher and convey so much freshness and easiness without becoming an overpowered, pretentious statement?
I have to disappoint you. There's a lot of coincidence in the process, I have to say. And I think this percentage of coincidence is important for us. It's not, I wouldn't say it's dominating the whole process, but there's a certain percentage, as I said, and we allow these coincidental aspects to enter into the collection because we know how we would also could do it. I hope you understand what I want to say.
Yeah, it's so intuitively.
It's based on experience. We know how we could also do it in another way. So when we worked in the industry for years, you know, to communicate our ideas to a team of 10, 20, in the last position, 30, 32 colleagues. And if you have to do that, you have to have a concept. When we started Odea, we were just by ourselves. And in this moment, we didn't have to convince others with that. The first crowd that we had to convince was the retailers in the end at the point when the collection was ready. But in this process, to come back to your question, in this process of developing the collection, we are not limiting ourselves. If we love red, we do 10 tones of red. In an industry company, in a bigger company, you would probably do 3 tones of red, and that would be already a lot. And that's probably the difference. If we love something, we exaggerate it. We do more of it. And then there, in the moment when we put pieces together, when we create the look out of these items, we allow a lot the spontaneous energy and this idea of, oh, we didn't see it like this at the beginning, but it's nice like that. And we allow this change, this moment of change.
So is this authentic process of creativity?
I would say yes. Right. I mean, that's the pure essence of creativity. Because when you fulfill a pin board, when you fulfill a mood board, just to bring it to the end, then it's something you can call it conceptual, you can call it bland, or you can call it very organized, as we Germans like to be. But in the end of the day, pure creativity comes in a process always, or at least at our personal feeling, when something is also unplanned and coincidential.
As Ceci was saying, Odea's colors and prints are true eye-catchers and part of the label's identity, actually. Now, as the passing of time is a fact, and we have to deal with ongoing change of zeitgeist, how are you able to withstand this with your distinct choice of colors and patterns? Is there something as Odea's basics for which you choose certain silhouettes or specific, maybe seasonless colors or prints that could be perceived as timeless?
Every collection is a new beginning, I have to say. And every collection, in the end, we would say that is the nicest collection we've ever done. That's a certain kind of naivety or naiveness that we really like to cultivate when we develop. I mean, we are in our late 50s, early 60s already, so we have done a lot. And if you are losing this kind of innocent energy, and if you're losing this ideal view on what you do, especially when you talk about a creative process, it's dangerous. I think you have to keep this innocent energy, and you have to keep this naive view that what you do in this moment is going to be the nicest thing. So to answer your question, there is no standard, I would say. Of course, there's a certain navy color that we always like, and there's, I mean, there are tons of navy shades that you could use, and this is something we try to achieve is a certain navy standard or a certain a crew standard. But all the other colors are always very playful and always defined and confused, composed in a new dimension, especially when it comes to the prints, as you mentioned.
We want to share with you what two former guests of us, both artists, mm-hmm. told us about the first encounter they recall with color. Mm-hmm. In both cases, it was red, okay. which first gave them this awareness. We will now hear Israeli figurative painter Amnon Ar's experience, which he objectively says red. And then we will hear Mexican abstract painter Cecilia Rivera's experience, of which we can infer that it is red.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you a little tiny anecdote from my childhood. I remember that running around this garden, and they had these extremely red colors and these flowers that were extremely red. I don't remember the name of them, but they eventually appear in one of my paintings. And I remember this intense feeling of how this red in the sun is just beyond words. And I was not fascinated, but flabbergasted by it.
Well, I was a little girl in Cuernavaca, in the middle of those beautiful gardens. My parents also have a very nice garden. I was running, and then suddenly I tripped, and there was this tremendous shock to me because I smell for the first time blood, and at the same time I was smelling also the freshness of the grass that was recently wet by the rain from last night. So that was a sublime moment. It made me conscious about my own life, about my own presence in the world.
I want to ask you, when you were growing up, what was your first encounter with color? Perhaps someone wearing a certain garment at the street or in nature during a summer or a winter. Do you recall having an experience like this at all?
Oh, I would have to think about that. Probably if you would ask Otto, who is not here in the moment, he would totally say the garden. He's the biggest gardener I know. We have a large rose garden, so I was remembering his it reminded me very much on the rose garden we have and the shades of color. And I remember when I was working at Escada, I had the honor to work still with Margareta Lai, the founder of Escada at that time, and she always said, in a garden in the nature, every color fits to each other. So there's no not working color besides another one. And that kind of, I can't tell you now this childhood idea, but I remember totally this what she said at the moment, that colors work together. You don't have to question it. There's not this thing like blue is not working with green and all that stuff that is sometimes surrounding us. And I think we both are very much, or should I say, very much dominated by this idea that Margareta taught us, that colors work together if they are in nature. And why shouldn't we take this idea in and bring it into the fashion palette of working with colors? And maybe this is something we do. So we are not intellectually questioning, does that work together? It works. And I think the more you allow this idea of things work together, just look at it in another with another perspective, the more possibilities you have in order to create something. And I feel it's almost endless what we can do. I don't have the feeling, oh, we are done with it, or we have done so many prints, so we are at a point where I would say we have no any more ideas. That's not the fact.
Jörg, we stay with the colors. Regarding Odé's outspoken colors and patterns, How is the acceptance of Ode in the different countries where you sell? And how do you think this is related to cultural perception?
I personally, we are traveling a lot and we know a lot of our customers. We know retailers in the US that we are visiting constantly, and we are meeting our consumers there, women there that love Ode. We do events with German retailers where we meet the women who buys Ode. We do the same thing in Switzerland, in Austria, and Italy, wherever. We go to our showrooms. And the more we do that and the more we are growing, the more we realize that there is no such big difference anymore. In the past, maybe you would have said, oh, the South American customers, they want more colors than the Germans, or that the Scandinavians also want a certain palette of colors, maybe more the bluish colors and all those pseudo experiences. And the more we are growing and developing, the more I would say that's not the case anymore. There's a global view on things, and that I don't feel these specific differences.
Well, maybe next question will complement it a little bit and will reinforce what you just said. Regarding also color perception based on culture, one of our previous guests, Annalena Mallet, one of Latin American's most recognized curators for designed and contemporary art, left a question for you yesterday in our mailbox. While she was traveling and transferring between airplanes, Annalena asked,
when you are planning a certain collection, when you know it will cross countries and continents, do you think about how light and color is perceived different overseas? Or do you combine and design only in intuition?
Clear answer, intuition. And I think in the moment when you try to fulfill a certain cliche, you are losing your inner feeling of what is necessary in order to be creative. Not creative in this in a superficial way, but creative in the way, what do I feel? I think what we do, and both of us, is really something, as I said at another point of the discussion, it's what we do we love. And if we love one color, we show 30 shades of it. So and we don't love it. If we don't love it, we don't do it. Now, maybe somebody's telling us, you should do it, or it's about to come, or whatever. No, we are not.
The process of choosing ahead the different colors and prints for a fall, winter versus a spring, summer collection is certainly very challenging, I assume. Light in the different seasons of the year is very changing, especially in Germany, not only in brightness, but also in how the landscape, the mood, and even the state of mind of people changes. We know that you travel a lot, and I guess that this could be a strong source of inspiration for you. But apart from that, what would you say are the most important sources of inspiration, and do you allow any influence from sources such as the Color Association of the United States, the COUS, that forecasts new color trends twice a year and even gives a direction in the colors to be trendy? Do you look at this, or you totally ignore it?
I would say we are not ignoring every color tendency or color information we get, but we very often answered. We are using it more as something where we would say, "Oh, this is published, so we shouldn't do it." It's more this: we are going to fabric fairs and to color conferences, and when we go to Première Vision, which is the biggest fabric fair in Paris, they have those kind of forums where you can see color tendencies and stuff. And it's always when we go there, when we see hundreds of people running around there and seeing the same, we say to ourselves, "Oh, we shouldn't do that." So it's more this: what we see is, or what arrives at our view in this dimension is more where we would say we shouldn't do that. Others are seeing the same thing now. And in the end of the day, we are not looking at too much that has too much intention in this direction. So to say, Yeah, if somebody sends us a trend book or a color forecast or whatever, it's more for us this thing. We shouldn't look at it too much. It's published for also for others.
So something that attracts lots of attention are the accessoires part of your collections. Your scarves, hats, these huge bags, and sunglasses. They're fun and vivacious. Let's take sunglasses as an example. I have special interest in the color concept. Of the five models you created for eyewear shades together with the strong Austrian brand Neubau eyewear back in 2021. Could you tell us a little bit about this cooperation and how did you succeed to avoid loudness and rather turn your choice of colors into something that naturally merged in this spring-summer collection?
It was a very clear decision to take colors that are not too obvious and that are not too loud. We always think and we know and we experience for ourselves that in the moment when you put on a sunglasses, it comes in contact with your face and it shouldn't fight against your personal presence in a way. It shouldn't overload or overtone your personal energy in this moment. And when something comes nearly very near to your face, it should have a certain decency, and yes, it shouldn't be too loud. When we talk about accessories like scarves and hats and bags, it's a different dimension. It's not coming as near to you as an eyewear is doing.
This is what I meant when I say that for me, when I see your garments and the compliments you make or create, they come from a very clear, authentic source. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I see a lot of the brands today is just turning people in phony subjects, making exactly with the sunglasses being so loud.
I think you always have to create a dialogue between the piece you want to sell in order that somebody should wear it and the person itself. So it's important that this dialogue is in a certain way, I don't have another word now, but that this dialogue is in a way human and not destroying or not over coloring your own identity. And if something gets too loud, especially in your face, and it's interesting that you mentioned it and that you realized it. It was our main intention to use colors for the Neubau eyewear collection that are really decent and have a classic approach.
Let's talk a little bit about Meissen porcelain now. It sounds like a major honor to creatively direct the oldest porcelain manufacturer in Europe and one of the most famous porcelain brands worldwide. There must be a great connection between Odet and Meissen in Europe. Approach to the design as well as the manufacturing process, as you both thrive on craftsmanship. What was the main drive when being Meissen's creative directors just recently, and how were you able to position your vision regarding product design in such a historically settled brand and solid organization like Meissen?
I remember the first day when we arrived there, and Meissen is a big company. At that time there were like 500 colleagues working in the manufactory, and they were all coming together, and we were introduced to the whole crowd. And the first thing I was saying, it may be strange for you why we are here now from the fashion scene, but we have one thing in common: nobody needs Meissen and nobody needs Odet. Nobody needs a new plate, a new cup, a new whatever on that price level, and nobody needs a new dress, because every woman who is able to buy a dress on our price range already has something at home. So there's no necessity for what we do, and that bonds us in a way, and that brings us together, and that creates a certain, let's say, or that can create a certain strategy for the whole thing. Creating something that nobody needs, but everybody, or at least a lot of people, should want. They want it. And this emotional level, this is the main point. Creating something that make people want to have it. I think that's in a very on a very abstract level something that was bringing us together. And I was 2 weeks ago, I was there again and visiting the manufacturer. We're still in a very close contact. And it's always when you enter this craftsman's paradise, it's something that is really, it's overwhelming you. And that was also something that was something we didn't expect when we entered, this passion that you feel there and this incredible knowledge and historical archive and what people know there. I mean, they have a color archive that is that was founded, as you said, 710. I mean, the company comes from the Baroque time. And as you said at the beginning, Odet, you described it, or we describe it very often as a mix of opulence and minimalism. And I think these aspects and these tones of mood, there's a lot we have in common, I think.
You're also co-branding with Telami with the collection of the Tripolina retro chairs featuring Hawaiian patterns. Yes. And you also have joint projects with sunglass manufacturers such as Lunette Collection and Neubau Eyewear, which we just talked about. And obviously, working with different brands challenges to think in other styles, think of different materials, different patterns, and also different color schemes. What do you take as a starting point to be able to succeed in these collaborations? And what is it you look for in a collaboration partner? Is it a kind of marriage also where there is admiration as well as sharp discussions to get the best out of each other's qualities and traits?
For us, the main aspect is it have a human energy? Isn't it when things get too corporate in a way of when companies and atmospheres in these companies get too big in the sense of conceptual in corporate, then it's something, it gets difficult for us. So when we had our first meeting with Neubau, when we had our first meeting with Meissen, with Tripolina, the Tripolina chair company with Telami, it was always the human opposite that was sitting there and talking to us. And the more this clicks, the better it is. And then something is growing. We're not coming with a finished concept to this company. It's growing. It's growing by talking, let's say. It's something that you need to feel the specific opposite, the specific energy of this partner in order to create something. You can't do it apart from, or we can't do it apart from this, from feeling this.
Can you let us know as well how you professionally and personally developed during these collaborations? Did you achieve something notable?
It's in every collaboration, there's something specific that we, I think, achieved. I mean, when we look at Meissen, we were talking a lot about the specific roots that Meissen is coming from. Meissen, as I said, was founded 1710. It was founded in the Baroque epoch. It was in Dresden. They invented the white gold, the so-called white gold, the porcelain. And you can't do Bauhaus in Meissen. You know, you have to do something that is connected to this origin and to that root and to the reason why it was founded at that time. On the other hand, you have to bring it into a modern dimension, and this is always the challenge. On the one hand, this respectful dialogue with the roots, with the past, and the same moment, this necessity of bringing it in 2022, let's say. And when I look at Meissen, we created something similar to the idea of Odet. We created a porcelain series, a tableware collection that is very individual, where you can wear the dinner plate is different than the placement plate, has a different design than the coffee plate, than the cups. Every item has a certain design and pattern, and they all fit together, and it's a visualized collage of porcelain, I would say. And this is probably the parallel to Ode, and this is something that's our message. Buy a nice cup, have fun with it, do something that is entertaining you rather than buy a tableware for 12 pieces, where every piece looks the same.
Jörg, you have also been part of joint projects with art galleries.
Yes.
And I have to say that good results as part of a talented, harmonious teamwork, not only with other companies, but between you and Otto, it's not an everyday story. And now I believe and agree what you said about this human element that's essential. But there's also another one, in my opinion, for success, which is that it allows to choose a good partner, and that is self-knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So this gives a realistic view in treasuring our partner's qualities and recognizing any shortcomings in both sides. And I think the most important partnership of all partnerships we have been hearing of is your own. You with Otto.
Right.
You have done a fantastic work together. And I know it's probably going to sound a little bit a cliche question, but I nevertheless would like to ask you, what can you say are the essential ingredients to this successful, dynamic, and soul-caring duo of yours?
I think the main thing is not to hide something. At the beginning, I remember when our first project was working together for René Lézard, and at the beginning, we tried to hide the fact that we had a different view in certain aspects, and we tried to discuss that behind closed doors. There was a certain point when we realized everybody is realizing it anyhow, that we are discussing something that is not probably not in the nicest way, or in that there is a discussion between Otto and myself. And at a certain point, we said, let's do that in a transparent way. Let everybody be able to participate in this struggle and in this idea of finding the best solution for this problem or aspect or whatever. Let everybody participates in this idea of creating the nicest coat, the nicest pants, or whatever. And we realized that this dialogue that we have and this struggle often and that sometimes tough discussions are essential in order to come to that point where we both have the feeling now the best solution has won. And this is something at the beginning we didn't behave like that. Meanwhile, we allow this energy and we allow this kind of struggle to be transparent and to be public. And I think, to come back to your question as well, I think it's important to accept that even though we have a common sense in the idea of what Ode should be and where we want to go with Ode, we have different details in our brains, and it's the same road we are going, but there are some curves we are taking different. And sometimes we are losing ourselves for a couple of days, and sometimes we are the closest you can imagine. So, and you have to allow that, and this distance is not bad. It's, I think, when I reflect our way of working together, it's helpful to find together again.
It gives you perspective.
Yes, yes. And it makes Ode to what it is, to something that is sometimes it's not recognizable on the first view. You need to think a little bit about it. And that's what we like also when we look at other collections. We don't like collections where look one is already showing you the idea of look 48. It's like a good book, like when you read a book and you know everything on the first 20 pages, it gets boring. So you have to be able to make curves and to also allow contradictions sometimes.
And that's something I like about the brand. You were mentioning books.
Yeah.
And when you're reading a book, it's not the same to read a book at a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as later, a couple of years after.
It's true.
I think with your collections, It is really like that.
Yeah.
Because it's just, as you were mentioning, Petra, so timeless and so free that it allows women from different ages or mm-hmm. different mind stages also mm-hmm. To combine the way they want to portray it mm-hmm. mm-hmm. to the world. So let's talk green for a moment.
Yeah.
Odé challenges industrial values of larger brands that produce clothes in macro scales and are sold by the minute. And instead, you concentrate on craftsmanship, worshipping the creation process from beginning to end. With this unpretentious yet strong and authentic formula, you advocate for conscious consumption, and at the same time, you look after cultural preservation of traditional craftsmanship. What are your thoughts on today's massive overinformation and overstimulation in which Western cultures seem to be trapped? Is this madness? And if so, how, in your opinion, could we possibly fight it?
It's a very complex question you have created now, and there's a variety of thoughts and answers I would like to give, and I have to find my way now in order to give you a very answer that reflects what I and what we think about it. First of all, we are not at this point where we would say fast fashion as it's in itself is bad. I wouldn't say that. I can't say that. The good thing that we have today is that fashion has reached a level of democracy and democratic principles. Everybody is able to buy something, to afford something, or almost everybody that is nice or in his view nice. That's something that I would say is a sign of our times, and that is not per se bad. And not every piece that is created in this so-called fast fashion industry is bad. This is something I really think, and I don't want to hide this point. I'm not stepping in this trap of everything that is mass produced is a bad thing. On the other side, what you said, we are totally over-informed, overwhelmed by. We just have the Fashion Week in Paris, and you see one show, and 10 minutes later, you see the next show. And when you only reduce this on the superficial view of what you see, and when you say the higher and the bigger and the more models, the better and the nicer and the whatever, then you get bored very, very fast. And then it's not doesn't come to a satisfying point, at least for us. In the moment when we have the feeling there is something very personal and that there is a depth of content where we can feel it, everybody feels it in a different way, then it gets interesting. And then it's not competing with the higher, the bigger, the better, the whatever, the meet more people. There are shows where 2,000 people are sitting and a celebrity is coming out. We have just experienced a circle of shows where in almost every big corporate fashion show, there was a celebrity coming at the end. If it's Kim Kardashian or Cher or Kanye West or whatever. In the end of the day, I'm remembering the most another show where all this didn't happen, but where I had the feeling there is a certain depth and content that touches me. And I think this is important to educate yourself in a way and say, what do I really feel, and what is maybe just a sensational dimension of what I'm seeing there. And I think this difference, it's important to find the difference for yourself for that. So it's a difference of being impressed and being touched.
Oh, great answer. That's fabulous. It's the way I see it too. So you were talking about Otto loving his garden.
Yes.
And you chose Giebelstadt, almost poetic small town in Bavaria, surrounded by green fields wrapped in a rolling landscape to live in. learning this and this at the same time looking at the immense explosion of talent and versatility reflected in all of your projects and creations, I could not help myself but to think of this huge contrast between this peaceful place and the rumble and mumble of the catwalks and the intensity of the world of fashion. I thought to myself, these two people know how to strike a balance. They're not only talented, but they ought to be very emotionally intelligent. So how do you see yourselves, or you, or and Otto, how do you see him professionally and personally at this point of life? And which common values would you say are the ones that have driven you forward to develop a life project such as Ode?
Definitely this, the fact of being at the on the countryside, and in case of Otto, having that garden. And for me, it's other aspects that I value and I like to in my life. Definitely having this contrapositional aspects to what we professionally do, fashion, is substantial and allows us in the end of the day working in this business. This idea of dedicating my whole life to this business would be something I couldn't stand, to be honest. We love what we do. We're really passionate what we do. And in the moment when we work on these collections, it's for us, it's the 150% aspect. But in the same moment, we are feeding and we are fed by periods and by moments of time when we are in this house where we live, when we are able to value the silence that we have there. And we are living there now, 25 years already. And I don't know how it would be if we would live 100% of our life in Berlin or in Munich. I don't know this. It's something I don't know. I just know what we have. And looking back, I would say, having this composition of the countryside life and the urban experience that we can have whenever we want, we are traveling 50% of our time during the year, having this composition of opposites and having this possibilities of enjoying both allows us in the end to achieve this quality that we hopefully achieve.
Is possibly also this perspective, right? Gives you perspective, were talking about.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And also, I mean, by growing older, maybe 30 years ago, I wouldn't have given you this answer, but I know the more we are growing and the more important this composition and this dialogue of countryside versus urban atmospheres is essential for us.
I think it's great that you have been talking about this two-way path all along the interview to give perspective and to stay true to what you believe and what you also see in the other one out of respect.
Yeah.
I think that's something I sense between you and Otto and the countryside, the city.
I think the one of the main aspects in our life that probably bonds us also is this the principle of ambivalence, of things are not always black or always white or right or wrong. And I think there's always, when you decide for something, there's always another side that could be also possible. And I think it's important to keep that in your view, the ambivalence, and this. It's not only this one way ticket. You should.
Well, other people call it humbleness.
Maybe,
but I think it also strongly features creativity.
Definitely,
to step out of it again and to connect with nature.
Definitely,
with your own nature.
Totally, yeah.
It's
and nature. The let's say the nature helps you in order to come back to yourself sometimes.
Okay, less serious stuff. We have a little dynamic.
Oh my God. That was already serious.
We would like to play with you. It's divided in two parts. For the first part, we have a list of colors.
Yeah,
we
will read. And Petra is going to read it. I'm going to hand it to her.
And I call out a color, and you let me know the first thing that comes to your mind, not being an object, rather being an abstract concept or a feeling or an experience or a mood whatsoever. Maybe close your eyes and take your time.
You can't see it.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Purple.
Awake.
Gold.
Rich. Meissen. Yeah. Porcelain.
Magenta.
Don't like.
White.
Love it.
Yellow.
Birds.
And black.
Black is not a color.
Sorry.
that was an excuse for not finding another.
Green.
Green. Grass. Yeah. Nature. Yeah. Giebelstadt.
Okay.
Green is Giebelstadt.
So I'm going to read a list of concepts and ask you, and I'm going to ask also Petra, to please give each concept a color. So please close your eyes and take your time. Ready? Love?
Red. Very traditional.
Red.
Misjudgment?
Brown.
Black. It's not a color, but...
Fear?
Lilac.
Blue.
Sadness?
I don't connect sadness with a color. No. No color.
Mm-hmm. I find it also difficult, but... White?
Resilience.
It's tough. Resilience. Green.
Yeah, I have the same green.
Yeah.
Courage.
Courage. Pink.
Purple.
Happiness.
Yellow.
Orange.
Foolishness.
Everything together. Confetti.
Green.
So to finish our interview, I have a last question, Jörg. Actually, it's two questions.
Okay.
The first one is, if you could describe Otto's presence, which color or colors would you say could best describe him and why?
Otto is for me very much connected with how he dresses, and he's dressing very much in navy blue, in white, in gray. So it's a neutral color palette. I would never see Otto in a so-called strong color. What is what we mean traditionally with a strong color. Yeah.
So, okay, I think the second question would then come very good. So if you could give away one color of the spectrum as a present for Otto, which color would that be?
If I would give him a color?
Yeah, if you can give him as a gift, you know, that you can hand him from all the spectrum, what would you
pink,
give him?
Pink.
You would give him pink?
Yes, definitely.
So great. Thank you very much, Jörg, for dressing us women in color. And thank you for your precious time.
You're
and
so welcome.
Wonderful, insightful, fun interview.
Thank you very much for having me here.
Thank you, Jörg. Thank you, Ceci. Please be sure to check this chapter's description to find information about Ode's collection and upcoming shows and projects.
Thank you, Petra, and thanks to our listeners, wherever you are, for having allowed us to share time with you. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.